I didn't know this for 6 or 7 years afterwards, what had happened, but it seemed to me like all the bullies around town picked on me. I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was picked on. I didn't want to fight. I was convinced I wasn't going to be a prize fighter. But one day one of them went just too far, and I landed on him. And I'd done a swell job. I hit just two licks hit. I hit him, and he hit the ground. And that was that. And I thought, well, now I guess I won't be bothered again. But a more prominent bully, he got picking on me. And, well, finally I had to fight him. And that fight didn't last much longer, and I won. Gee, I was just lucky, that's all. But I learned about, a long time after that fella told me that I got acquainted with him. Oh, they thought you was that guy inside that had such a reputation for being a bad man, and that was the reason. And he wanted to know, really, he said, ain't you the man? Well, I wasn't, of course, and I never even knew him, but I got the blame for it. People might wonder why there isn't more dates than this, but I'll just give you a little idea. A friend and I was way up on the Chittenaw one year, and I got up, and we had horses, and we were waiting for the boat to come out, and that'd save our horses a lot and save us a lot, and we knew that was the best way out. There's no trail to get through rough country. We had to go over a big mountain. So we decided to wait for the boat. Well, we were away there about 3 or 4 days, waiting for the boat to come along. We knew it was coming eventually. But one day I got up and I carved my initials on a birch tree, nice big white birch, and I called it, cut my initials and cut the date 1907. And my partner looked up, he said, Slim, you're wrong. He said, 1908, oh no. It's 1907, don't you know? This happened, and so on. I like Gully. He said, I guess you're right. It is 1907. He said, I think it's 1908. But so he got up, and he carved his initials, too. Well, when the boat come along, why, the captain told us, yes, it was 1908. There's no question about it. That fall, I got a letter from a man in Cordova, and it was to the effect that I was to hire 16 men to go in on the copper and cut wood. Well, that is all right. I was to be foreman of one camp. I was to be in charge of the outfit going over the summit. That is over the Tasnuna, tough one at that. Nobody ever went over it but us, or much. And one outfit, I believe, before, and then it was given up for a long time, and we tackled it. Well, we had 13 horses and 21 of us in the outfit. And we started. We had double enders for light work, and then we had sets of bobs to take over to haul wood out onto the lake, onto the river. It was a tough one. They was betting that we wouldn't make it, but we did. And we had plenty of trouble, too. But the boss, he had written me in his letter, he said, hire a couple, if you can, for your cooks. He said, I've got a woman hired for my cook, and he said she might be nice for her to have company. Well, I never thought anything about it, so I hired a young couple, nice young couple. They was perfectly able to do the cooking, but got out on the trail, and the old lady got to having dreams. She was somewhat of a fortune teller, a spiritualist. I don't know what she was, but she had dreams about things happening. Well, now I'm kind of neutral on that. You know, I used to drive into a Indian camp one time. I used to go there a lot to trade. And there was an old fellow there. He called himself Cheese John. He couldn't say chief, so he said Cheese John. Well, I've come into that camp, and the fellow say, oh, yes, we knew you was coming. Well, how did you know I was coming? Oh, Chief John told us. He had those kind of spells, and he would, if someone was kind of out of luck hunting, why, he'd tell them where they could go find something to shoot, a moose, caribou, sheep, or something. And about 9 times out of 10, he was right, and if a man didn't get it, why, he raised the devil with him. He knew it was there, and He was just a poor hunter. He'd have got it. That's all there was to it. Well, I got so interested in it. Now, of course, John got a quarter. If you went out and got a moose where he told you what, well, you owed him a quarter of it, which is all right. He was about 80, I think. The old folly didn't hunt much. But anyhow, I got so interested in his way of life that I asked him one day, I said, John, where can I go get a moose? Well, by golly, he told me. And I went and I got a moose. And another time I was in there, I asked him for a sheep. He told me I went and got a sheep. Of course, I'd give him a quarter. That was all right with me. But he had something. I just don't know what it was. Now, that's all there was to it. So I can't deny that old lady had something. And she did hit it right, too. Of course, we got on the summit one night. And, well, two different times. We used to dig her a hole. The snow was deep. And we'd dig a hole down. We had long poles to lay across that hole in the snow, of course. And then we'd put canvas over it, and our horses would really be underground. And they'd be in that place a week or 10 days while we relayed ahead. One night, the wind come up and blew our sleeping tent away. Well, all us fellows had to go down and stand up around the horses, what didn't dig a hole in the back end and crawl in there. But we put in one miserable night, and next day about noon, wind kind of let up, and we fixed our tent up. But the old lady had a dream about that, that something was going to happen, the tent's going to blow away. Another time, we was starting out to break trail ahead, and she just raised Cain. She said, oh, she said, I see water. I see a horse with his leg broke. He said, don't go. Well, we couldn't pay much attention to it, so we went on, and sure enough, we broke a horse's leg, and right beside of it was some water. It was a kind of an odd setup, I tell you what. Well, anyhow, we got into the... of course, 90% of the fellas made fun of her. There's one fella kind of hung around her and listened to her dreams, but he wanted to be foreman, and he would have been, I guess, if it hadn't been that the boss knew that all the boys had left if I did, because he didn't like this dude. But anyhow, we got into where we supposed to, and a train was supposed to have all of her provision for summer and horse feed, everything there. And when we got to it, there wasn't a thing. I don't know whether the railroad's fault or the old gal's fault or the boss or who it was, but anyhow, there was nothing there. We had to break up. Well, we'd shoot our horses. Boy, that hurt me. Well, I decided I'd go upriver. I had three dogs. We took them along to go back and get mail and things like that. Well, I started upriver. All the rest of them started down. Want to see Vic, the boss. He was going downriver hauling the old lady on a sled by the neck. But we started up, and there was five of us. Made quite a load. And had this young couple with us. And the first night, we got into a tent. I mean, of course, we knew all the where it was. So we went in there, and the wind blowed to beat the devil for two or three days. And we couldn't get out, and oh, boy, did we get lousy. Well, there's no place to get rid of them. That's all there was to it. And we had to take them right along with us. There is a way to kind of protect yourself a little. When it's really cold, why, just pull off your shirt and your underwear and lay it out in the cold and let them freeze and then shake them, and they just shake out of your underclothes like rice. So that helped a little, but it didn't get rid of them. But we got out all right. One place our dog had blowed away and was gone overnight, and I managed to dig them up next day, but... we got out after a lot of trouble and decided that we'd start suit for our wages. We had quite a bit of money coming, all of us. And so we started suit, got a lawyer, and of course the boss was right along with us. And it went along fine until the boss come up missing. He was just gone. Nobody knew anything about him. Nobody knew where he was. Nobody knew a thing about him. Well... we decided that the other railroad company had just paid him off and got rid of him, and he'd left and left all us was in the lurch. Well, some of the fellas swore they'd kill him if they'd ever see him, and others swore they'd beat him to death. I never said anything, but I'm glad I didn't meet him for the next 10 years, because I might have done something I was sorry for, because... shooting those horses and the way those men worked for me and the way we got along, it was pretty hard to take for a man to just sell out on you and leave you afoot. That's all there was to it. Well, I run across that fellow about 10 years afterwards. I didn't recognize him at all. He come up to me on a pair of crutches, and he said, Slim, do you know me? I said, no. You look familiar, but I can't place you. Well, when I knew him, he was a man about 6'2". He weighed about 225. He was just a bull moose. That's all there was to it. Well, this day, I don't think he weighed 120. He had arthritis and on crutches and poor. He was the most pitiful thing I ever seen in all of my days. His toes was turned up and his leg was crooked. He couldn't hold onto his crutches with his hands hardly, and he was broke. Well, I give him a $20 bill. I figured that he'd just been punished a plenty, and I figured I just didn't want to do any more. You just don't learn everything in that country at once. But of course, I was just lucky and didn't get caught in a lot of things. But I was trapping one winter with a little fella. Nice little guy, good trapper, and clean. He was just fine. And we decided that some moose come along. We needed meat. And now, it didn't make any difference how much meat you had, because when spring come, we'd dry it and get along with it fine. So these two moose, we decided to go after them, and we hiked out. Well, we run them about, tracked them about 10, 15 miles, run into them long towards evening and shot them. Well, we had skinned them and got part of the meat hanging up, and we was tired and had a good fire built. And come time to go to bed, he said, geez, I'm going to use this skin. So he just wrapped it around here, laid down in, rolled over and over and over. It dropped down on both ends. He was a small man. And I kind of curled up on the oven and slept with the fire and kept the fire up that night. And next morning he was a hollering. And I went over to him and said, what's the matter? He says, I can't get out. There he was, frozen, that moose skin, just as stiff as a board. I had to roll it up to the fire and kind of thaw it out and pull on it and kick on it and finally got him out. But if I hadn't have been there, that fellow just froze to death. That's all there was to it. He couldn't have done anything else because, well, those are the kind of things that you learn and accidentally get out of them. If he'd have been alone, he'd have never got out. But I just happened to be there. It just